Freedom itself was attacked this morning by a faceless coward. And freedom will be defended.
Right. Oh, my God. Another plane has just hit. It hit another building. Flew right into the middle of it. Explosion.
There was a huge explosion sound. Everyone came out. A large section of the building is blown out.
Two planes into the towers of 1 and 2 World Trade Center. A third plane crashed into the Pentagon.
If tomorrow all the things were gone, I'd work for all my life.
I'm very worried, very scared.
I had to start again.
We will do whatever is necessary.
Just my children and my wife.
To protect America and Americans.
Thank my lucky stars to be living here.
There's no reason for this. There's no excuse for this.
The flag still stands for freedom, and they can't take that away. And I'm proud to be an American. And I won't forget the men who died, who gave that right to me. And I gladly stand up next to you and defend her still today. 'Cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA.
Lower Manhattan looks like it was bombed during the Second World War.
Some of the casualties are in the collapsed building and buildings around the World Trade Center. I'm told that it's just a scene of rubble and utter devastation.
This country will rebound, and what can you say in a situation? There's just not a lot we can say.
This is something that's affecting everyone directly.
I ask the American people to join me in saying a prayer for the victims and their families.
From the lakes of Minnesota to the hills of Tennessee.
I pray that God will give our leaders wisdom.
Across the plains of Texas, from sea to shining sea, from Detroit down to Houston, and New York to L.A., will is bright in every American heart, and it's time we stand and say that I'm proud to be an American. Where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the men who died, who gave that right to me. And I gladly stand up next to you and defend her still today. 'Cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA. There ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA.
The resolve of our great nation is being tested. But make no mistake, we will show the world that we will pass this test. God bless.
All right, Rick. It's Real Racing USA Live time.
Yeah, we're here.
We're live
at the Real Racing USA studios. And September 11th. God, it's hard to believe it's 6 years already.
That's right. 6 years ago, we did our show on. We didn't do a show on the 12th, which was our normal schedule.
Right.
We did it on the 19th. And, boy, that was a weird, weird time, man.
Yeah, it was. It was a very weird time. That prior weekend, I had been scheduled to run the school bus race up at New Smyrna. It had rained out. And then I believe it was 2 weeks later or so that I went down and I won that race up at New Smyrna. But, yeah, that was a strange week. And then that weekend, we had a tropical storm come through.
That's right. Yeah. That's strange.
Yeah, it was strange times. And, strange times now. Controversy with the TBARA.
David Steele, one of the, I mean, he's like a nationally recognized
he's a
top shelf sprint car driver.
Right. He's ran Indy. He's ran Busch. DQ'd at Citrus, of all places.
Citrus County Speedway in Inverness, Florida, and he got DQ'd for rough driving, along with
points leader.
The points leader.
Troy Decare.
Troy Decare.
And Keith Butler.
Whew.
So, yeah, wild weekend up there at Citrus County Speedway.
That's tough stuff, man.
Yeah, that's real tough stuff. We got some good stuff coming up on the show tonight. It's going to be a good show. Got Mr. Jimmy Owens, winner of the World 100. We talked about the World 100 up at Eldora last Tuesday night.
Yeah, we were talking to Eddie Carrier Jr., who wanted to win that thing, but he didn't make the field. Neither did Earl Pearson, who we had on. He didn't make the field either.
Right, and we got Jimmy Owens on. We got Mike Krakowski. Now, Hooters Pro Cup is going to fiberglass bodies next year. Okay, basically changing the whole scheme of things. So there's going to be all these race cars sitting out there that people basically can't use anymore. So this guy, Mike Krakowski, has got an idea. Showtime Motorsports is going to try and gather up all those cars, and I believe it's up in the Carolina area. Is going to try to put together a touring series with those cars, so that should be interesting. We got the Wild Child,
The flagman for the TBRA.
He's going to give us his take from the flag stand on what happened this weekend at Citrus. Not just somebody's, you know, some Joe Schmo on the streets opinion, but the actual guy making the calls on the track. We'll have him on. We got Bill Green coming on.
Bill Green.
The writer extraordinaire for the Tampa Tribune.
Tampa Tribune.
Bill Green is really the jack of all trades.
I'm telling you.
You know, I think the only thing I haven't ever seen Bill do is flag a race.
Well, the only reason is because nobody's stuck it in his head lately.
I'm sure he has
there's no doubt.
Oh, yes. You know what?
He's flagged.
He was the backstretch flagman at Auburndale. That's how he got started
absolutely.
In this game. That's right.
He'd drive the pace car. He'll sell the hot dogs.
He'll do whatever.
Him and Rick Day.
Yeah.
Who, by the way, Mr. Rick Day, who was working out in
Texas.
Corpus Christi Speedway. He was the general manager of San Antonio Speedway, the short track out there.
Yep.
They closed down. He went over to Corpus Christi. Apparently, talked to him yesterday, Rick's no longer at Corpus Christi. And he's either going to be doing maybe a dirt track deal out there, or, God forbid, he's going back down to Florida.
Coming back.
And them people in Florida, look out.
Oh, Lord. Rick Day coming back.
Don Nero's worst nightmare.
Yeah. It'll be good to see Rick back, though.
Yeah.
I mean, we do see Rick every year at East Bay.
East Bay Raceway.
He's up there scoring every year, so... It'll be good to see Rick come back. Let him stir the pot up down here a little bit. Also, we got the All Harley Drags half hour coming up at the top, the end of the show.
This guy, Terry Tripp, he is like the current points leader in the Super Gas division.
Right.
And as you know, you've caught on by now, these guys are maniacal.
Yeah, they break their necks. And
yeah, they do all this. They do stuff that normal human beings aren't supposed to do and just keep on.
By the way, speaking of that, I did finally see that hit.
Yeah.
Kevin, what was his name?
Everett,
yeah.
Buffalo Bills.
It was god-awful.
Not pretty.
No, it's not looking good for him either. Everybody keep your thoughts and prayers for him.
This guy, Terry Tripp, though, he's leading the points in his Super Gas deal and in the All Harley Drag Racing Association. This guy, Bob Drapp, who's also going to be on. He's from Florida, by the way, this guy, Bob Drapp.
Oh, yeah?
You might know of him, Bob Drapp. Yeah. He's from up there around Central Florida.
Central Florida area.
Yeah, Lakeland area.
Oh, okay.
And he is the former champion of this this deal, the Super Gas division, and they are running apparently neck and neck.
So are any of them 80 years old?
God. That guy last week, I couldn't believe it. Let me see, what the heck was that guy's name? Do you remember that guy's name?
Sonny something. But he threw us all off when he said he was 71 years old.
A rookie.
Yeah, a rookie.
Racing a Harley at 140. I have his name right here.
Yeah.
Racing a Harley at 140 is like, that should be like against the rules.
Yeah, he shouldn't be allowed to do that. I wouldn't think.
Except he's winning.
Well, yeah, and I bet he's not doing it with his left turn signal on either.
That must have been Randy Borjo, or maybe it was Don Norlin. Oh, no, no. You know who that was? That was Sonny Burris.
Sonny Burris, yeah.
Sonny Burris. That's
right. I knew his
name
was Sonny.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
71-year-old Sonny.
And the other guy, Will Simplett, had broken his neck.
Right.
Just climbed back up on the bike. And
yeah.
Then there was this other guy down there we interviewed earlier in the year. I can't think. Chicago Joe Scatella. Between the motors exploding beneath his privates.
Yeah.
And his knees scraping the wall at 160. I mean, these guys are just out of, and that then now the lady that we had on,
Valerie Thompson. Your mic's breaking up.
Yeah, that's me twisting it around. I don't have the information. We will get this later in the show from Stage and Stevie LaTemp.
Did she get to make the run?
Yeah, she did it. She broke it, man.
All right.
Yeah, it's like 100 and I don't know, 160 or whatever. It was up there. She did. She did. She sent me an email, and I just forgot, neglected to type it out.
Oh, okay.
Or to print it out, but we'll get that information later here, too.
I had to work the real job last night, so I didn't get a chance to call in on real racing. I mean, on Inside Florida Racing last night with the DeSoto deal. But our buddy B.J. McLeod, another great finish, second place finish down there in the super late models.
That's cool.
Yeah,
that's cool.
Schofield won, and David Wilson was third. Justin Larson had a good run down there too, so had a good deal down there. But yeah, something we're gonna have up coming up on Real Racing USA that John started doing down there at DeSoto is we're gonna have some drifters on here pretty soon.
Yeah, I think we need to get some of them guys on.
Yeah, I heard they're a wild bunch, man.
Yeah,
wild bunch.
I think we should have some nitro-powered drifters, man.
We had four of them out there on the track Saturday night for a little exhibition deal, and one of them was a pro guy. And this guy literally smoked the tires all the way around that track, sideways.
Yeah, when you see the guys that really know what they're doing,
yeah,
it's pretty cool.
Yeah,
it is. It
way
is.
Cool.
It's interesting to watch.
And the fans love it. John's going to do it again Friday night, September 28th.
It's like a burnout with a lot of motion.
Yeah. I think I might have to go out and check that out. It's on Friday night.
Now, we were supposed to, I don't know, are you familiar with this or not, but the Red Bull thing, you might have been seeing some ads over the weekend,
yeah.
Right?
The plane racing.
Yeah, airplane racing. We had a couple of guys that we were trying to get scheduled for tonight. We had actually had the one guy kind of half scheduled. That all fell apart. We're going to try to get that hooked up for next week. That's something we've wanted to do for a long time.
Yeah,
is
no
talk
doubt.
To these crazy guys. We want to see if these guys are as crazy as the Hall Harley drag racers.
Well, you know, I've seen some in-plane footage of these guys.
Oh, yeah, they're nuts, man.
And, I mean, they're
10 Gs, craziness.
But they're not strapped in like a race car driver with a seat that cocoons them. They're moving around inside these planes, and they only got one control.
And there's some ladies that are pretty good at this stuff too. And
well, Mike Peters up at Ocala follows that.
Ocala
too.
Speedway owner in Florida. He owns this is something he wants to do. He talked about something he'd really like to do. He's a pilot. Yeah, it's funny. The guy needs to get somewhere. He just gets in his plane and
goes. Yeah, well that. The late model race at the beginning of the year, he flew down to watch that, remember?
Yeah, down to Charlotte County Speedway. On the Real Racing USA site, we've added a photo gallery, among other things.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, there's a photo gallery in there that's got some starting to be added to. The drag racers have been sending us some stuff. We got some all Harley drag shots, and supposedly we're supposed to get a whole bunch more of those. We want to see what these crazy people look like really up close and personal.
Oh, yeah. Sure.
Yeah. Yeah, so we got some of that happening.
They look like bikers.
Yeah, I think.
Look at this guy.
And we have a fan forum that's kind of being developed, and of course that'll take a little while to get off the ground and get really cooking, but be a place to...
There's a guy sitting there with tequila bottle, of course.
You think?
Can.
He is. Yes, he is.
Yeah. And then the next picture of him has got like 1,000 trophies.
Yep. And on the front page of RealRacingUSA.com right now, you can click on the link and listen to some racing with Ricky Carmichael and Earl Pearson Jr., Gary Santamaro.
Carol Wicks' hero.
Yeah, Carol Wicks' hero.
Yeah.
And then, of course, the lead story at the moment is...
I heard she's actually got paperwork and she's trying to adopt him.
Really?
Yeah, that's what I heard.
Ricky Carmichael adopted.
Yeah.
Wow.
Ricky Carmichael Wicks. They'll have to change all the T-shirts and stuff.
I thought she was over kids.
No.
I don't know.
No.
Tell you what, why don't we throw a couple of little dimes at the commercial slot
and
see if we can hook up with the wild child, Doug Dunham. See what happened to David Steele for real. How about that?
Huh? Let's do that.
What do you think? Well, if I can find the right button here. There it is.
There it is.
Okay.
Raise your land and business to new heights? Then you need to call Evergreen Development and Construction. They do it all, from land development, construction, drainage, excavating, site prep, and even environmental projects. No job is too big for Evergreen Development and Construction. Give them a call at 813-478-8847. And don't forget to check out the late model Evergreen Development Construction Race Team. They'll be at a track near you. And remember, just think green. Evergreen Development and Construction. 813-478-8847.
Carnac.com, your online racing community since 1997. Carnac.com is racing classifieds, racing photos, racing news, lively racing message boards, chat rooms, multimedia, and so much more. And if your race team or racing business needs a website, or your website needs a fire lit under it, look no further than Carnac.com. From affordable web hosting to fancy flash animation, Carnac gets it done.
PowerMaster is your ASA series sponsor for the XS Power batteries. PowerMaster is pleased to announce the introduction of the XS Power series of batteries, XX Power batteries for racing applications, and batteries for your car audio application. 12-volt batteries for street machines, street rods, off-road vehicles, and even motorcycles. XS Power batteries means 30% more power and no battery spilling. PowerMaster also carries your starters and alternators. Visit us on the web at www.powermastermotorsports.com.
Bud Light presents Real American Heroes.
Real American Heroes.
Today we salute you, Mr. Footlong Hot Dog Inventor.
Mr. Footlong Hot Dog Inventor.
When conventional wisdom said no one could make a hot dog longer than 6 inches, you dared to dream.
Dared to dream.
You knew the limitations of a regular size hot dog bun, and you ignored them.
Can't stop me now.
You made a 10-inch wiener, and people cheered.
Oh.
But you weren't satisfied. You said, wait, I think I can still give you 2 more inches.
Gotta want it.
And so the footlong was born. So crack open an ice cold Bud Light, Mr. Hot Dog Hero, because you gave every single one of us our fondest wish, a bigger wiener.
Thank you,
Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
I'm Doug Rose, owner of the Green Mamba Jet Dragster. You're listening to Real Racing USA on Short Track America. Be there.
When purchasing a technical product like brakes, there is no substitute for quality and experience. In the performance industry, no one has more experience than the brakeman. The brakeman has been designing high-performance solutions for a variety of applications for almost 40 years. The current products from the brakeman are among the most advanced on the market. The Tornado calipers are the only calipers in the performance industry to carry a U.S. patent number and their new line of pads and rotors. The Brakeman Super Brakes are solving brake problems on hard-use vehicles, from police cars to ambulances and a variety of fleet vehicles. So if you're towing a trailer, carrying heavy loads, or just plain want to extend the life and stopping power of your vehicle, it's time to call the Brakeman on the web at thebrakeman.com.
Are you ready to win? If so, it's time to move up to 5-Star Race Car Bodies. 5-Star Race Car Bodies designs and manufactures the highest quality race car body components. Short tracks, drag strips, road courses, and even in the desert, 5-Star has one driving passion: to help you win. 5-Star Race Bodies designs and manufactures for NASCAR, Grand Am, NHRA, IHRA, SCCA, Short Track Asphalt, Short Track Dirt, USAC, USAR, Hooters Pro Cup, and the ASA Late Model Series. Find out more today. 5starbodies.com.
Welcome back to Real Racing USA Live on Tuesday night.
Right here. Here we are. And we got the man on the phone, the wild child. You there, Doug? Hello, Doug. Doug can't hear me.
Yes.
Yeah, Doug.
You there, Doug?
Yes, I am.
All right. Can you hear me all right?
Hello?
Hello.
Hello, Doug.
Hello. How's it going?
It's going pretty good, man.
Can you hear me, Doug?
Yes, I can.
All right, man. Big weekend up there at Citrus County this past weekend. A little bit of controversy. Give us a little rundown of what happened from your perspective.
Our race director saw some bumping and banging between two cars. And when they finally... Yeah?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Hello?
Go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead, Doug.
Oh, when the caution came out because one of them spun the other out, he decided to place them both in the infield for rough driving. When the race resumed, another incident happened, and he decided that the person that caused the incident was also accused of and found of rough driving, so he also was put into the infield.
So now I watched the tape of that race, and I've seen, you know, my share of TBRA races. In my memory, this is the first time that I ever recall, besides the time with the Rudemans, this happening.
Yep. it doesn't happen that much. It does happen when you're doing between 10 and 12 second laps. Tempers flare when you think someone did you wrong, and you'll do something you're not really thinking with a straight head, and it just got to a point of where the race director decided that was enough is enough, and he set him down.
So now, did this come about by, was there complaints going up to this event?
Not really. There was a lot of observation as far as there being a lot of bumping and banging of wheels, but there wasn't any real, oh, you have to watch this one or watch that one. We think something's going to happen. It was just that night, that's what happened, and that's what was called, and you have to move on.
That track's a little, that track's racy anyway, isn't it, that at Citrus?
Very, very. I mean, you're turning anywhere from, like I said, 10 to 12 second laps. That's a lot. That's fast.
Yeah, and you know, like I said, I was watching the video of it, and they were going like three wide sometimes on that racetrack, and that's pretty tense racing right there.
Yes, yes, it is. Part of it, I think, had to do with the people involved, plus also that being that fast and that style racetrack at Citrus. There's always usually a lot of bumping and banging at that track.
Now,
as there is with every class that races
right
there,
but but you know, you compare the TBRA with say the open wheel modifieds or late models. The speed is just so much faster, and with the wheels just sticking out there in the air, I mean, so much can happen so fast. Sometimes you just got to take control, don't you?
Right, exactly, and that's what our race director did. He just saw that it was getting out of hand, and he got a hold of the situation and stopped it. I'm sure that a lot of fans aren't happy with it, but you have to realize that you got a 12-second lap, 10-second lap, and you've got maybe a split second to make a decision on what you saw. And you're not always going to be the most popular person out there by making a call. And hopefully what happens is that the rest of the racers realize that incidents like these aren't going to be tolerated and that we want fun, clean, fast racing.
Well, the TBRA is definitely, you know, the best touring class, bar none, in the state of Florida. And you got to keep stuff like that under control, even if it's your superstars out there.
Exactly. Exactly. And like I said, there may be some fans that aren't really happy with it, but they have to realize that we don't necessarily, me or the race director, we don't like having to set people down. We're not trying to be the bad people. We're just trying to keep it so that they have a clean, safe environment to race in, and that everybody's treated equally.
Yeah, well, there's no doubt, in a state that is known, probably we probably have more traveling series and touring series in Florida than any state in the country, and there's no question about that. And the TBRA has been at the top of that heap. And your next event's coming up at DeSoto Super Speedway at the end of the month, September 29th, and that's a special race, I understand.
Yes, it's a 50-lap race in honor of Frank Riddle, who was one of the founders of the TBRA when it first started up way back in the 70s.
When's the last time TBRA ran a 50-lap race, Doug?
As far as I know, since I've flagged, never.
That's what I thought. Yeah.
What? I think the most we've ever run that I know of is 35 laps. Very interesting.
What's your opinion of this race, the 50-lapper? I mean, do you think there's going to be a lot of attrition, or do you think these guys are going to be up for it?
I think they're going to be up for it. I think that they're smart. I mean, all told, all our drivers, from Wendy to Dave to even the Rudiments, they know how to save their equipment. Some of the rookies might go out and burn tires off in a, say, a 25, 30 lap, because to them it's just a sprint. But this 50 lapper is going to take a lot of thinking as far as, do you run out fast and hide, or do you pace yourself and let everybody else burn your tires off? Or if you do that, do the front runners just run away from you? It's going to be a very interesting race.
Well, you can't really run away and hide, because the caution puts you right back all in the same plane, right?
But when you can do 30 laps in, what, Rick, 10 minutes?
Well, we did.
Not long.
It was less than 10 minutes. It was a quick one.
Right. So, I mean, like I said, if they're all trying to lead the first lap, then, yeah, we may have a few cautions. If it just stays green to checkered, I'm not surprised if under 12 minutes to run 50 laps.
Actually, Doug, that race this year that we went green to checkers was just at 7 minutes.
Okay.
Yeah, I just remembered that.
So you figure another 20 laps, if we don't have any cautions, I would say 12, 15 minutes tops.
And it could happen.
Well, we really appreciate you coming on and sharing your point of view about what happened up there at Citrus County Speedway. Anytime, obviously, when you get your top guns disqualified in a race, there's going to be some upset fans and people and competitors. I mean, that just goes with it. We really appreciate you talking with us about it.
Hey, no problem. I did read online, I can't remember who it was, it might have been a Hod fan, about with the Rudiments.
That was Tripper, yeah.
From our understanding, the reason the Rudiments haven't been running with us as much as they normally do is that Pookie is really trying to become a USAC star.
That's a fact.
Excuse me?
Yeah, that's a fact, because when we had them on the show about a month or so ago,
the Rudiment night,
Pookie was actually leading the USAC points at that time.
Yeah, and so it's kind of hard with the same thing if they stop and think that when Dave Steele was chasing the USAC, he didn't really have a lot of time to come run with us every weekend. So it isn't so much that they're run off or they don't want to come run with us, that they're really trying to have Pookie become an established USAC star. And I don't have any problems with that. It's just that's where they're going right now, and using TBRA to get to that is a very fine thing to do.
Yeah, right. And you can go back and listen to that Ruderman right. show, and that none of them had anything bad to say about the TBRA, and had a lot of positive things about racing with the TBRA.
If you go into the Real Racing USA section of the site there, the archives, you can listen to the entire show, and they had nothing but positive to say about TBRA and why, and went into detail about why they weren't running now, just as you just said.
Right. But, you know, you're going to have a lot of fans that are they think that one thing and not really sure, and that's another thing. I appreciate that you would call me to ask what exactly happened, and sometimes, like I said, you don't necessarily want to set down your stars, but sometimes you have to set an example so that it doesn't get carried away.
Right. Well, you know, you've had other media sources out there with their opinions on what happened, and this one's opinion, and message board opinions. Might as well get it right straight from the source, right from the flag stand, right, Doug?
Oh, yeah.
Hey, we checked with your boss, too. Just happened to check with your boss out there, and he's out there soaking up the, Nevada sun? And, you know, his comments on it were, you know, hey, you can't please them all.
No. I mean, we try. I look at the TBRA as one big family, and you're going to have internal family squabbles, and you're going to have it where not everybody can come to the table and get the biggest part of the dinner. I mean, everybody's going to get a little piece, but not everybody's going to get the big piece. And you'll have tempers, and you'll have this and that, and one of the things I enjoy about the TBRA is it has that family atmosphere. And, they'll be mad at you today, or I'll be mad at somebody today, but by next weekend it's done and over with, move on, and go to the next race.
All right, Doug, well, thanks a lot for spending some time with us. Thanks for clearing that up with us, and I'm looking forward to seeing you September 29th out at DeSoto Super Speedway.
All righty.
See you, Doug.
All right.
All right, there you have it.
There you go. Now, go ahead and post what you want. But that's straight from the flag stand. You can't beat that. Of course, that was Doug Dunham, the wild child from TBRA. Now, you know, I stood in the flag stand with that guy one time. Thought, you know, Rick's going to get some balls, go up there in the flag stand and announce a race from the flag stand. And never again. No. That's not
pretty bad. Wild, huh?
Oh, that's crazy stuff.
Yeah,
up there.
I know it's a place I don't want to be.
Well, you don't wouldn't go up there for a dang Magic Four race.
No place I want to be. I'll tell you what, we got to sell some brakes and some motors and then come back and talk to Jimmy Owens, huh?
Yeah, thebrakeman.com.
City Racing, it's about winning. From lug nuts to complete race cars and 12,000 parts in between. Whether you're new to racing or a seasoned veteran, you'll find what you need at Port City Racing. Since 1981, Port City Racing has been producing winners. Drag racing, circle track, and much more. You can now browse through our Port City Racing catalog on the web. View and shop online right from your race shop. PortCityRacing.com. That's PortCityRacing.com. The O'Reilly Auto Parts ASA Fast Lane. Only on Real Racing USA.
Meet the racers of America's most exciting short track racing series every Wednesday night from 8 p.m. until 9 p.m. From the Milwaukee Mile to Bristol Motor Speedway, Five Flags in Nashville, the ASA is the racing series where young talent meets wily veterans in extreme short track competition. O'Reilly is America's auto parts store, and the ASA is America's premier late model series. O'Reilly Auto Parts ASA Fast Lane gets you close to the action and behind the scenes with the real stories from the drivers themselves. The O'Reilly ASA Fast Lane, only on Real Racing USA.
Do you need to raise your land and business to new heights? Then you need to call Evergreen Development and Construction. They do it all, from land development, construction, drainage, excavating, site prep, and even environmental projects. No job is too big for Evergreen Development and Construction. Give them a call at 813-478-8847. And don't forget to check out the late model Evergreen Development Construction race team. They'll be at a track near you. And remember, just think green. Evergreen Development and Construction. 813-478-8847.
Carnac.com, your online racing community since 1997. Carnac.com is racing classifieds, racing photos, racing news, lively racing message boards, chat rooms, multimedia, and so much more. And if your race team or racing business needs a website, or your website needs a fire lit under it, look no further than Carnac.com. From affordable web hosting to fancy flash animation, Carnac gets it done.
Power Master is your ASA series sponsor for the XS Power batteries. Power Master is pleased to announce the introduction of the XS Power series of batteries. XX Power batteries for racing applications and batteries for your car audio application. 12-volt batteries for street machines, street rods, off-road vehicles, and even motorcycles. XS Power batteries means 30% more power and no battery spilling. Power Master also carries your starters and alternators. Visit us on the web at www.powermastermotorsports.com.
Bud Light presents Real American Heroes.
Real American Heroes.
Today we salute you, Mr. Footlong Hot Dog Inventor.
Mr. Footlong Hot Dog Inventor.
When conventional wisdom said no one could make a hot dog longer than 6 inches, you dared to dream.
Dared to dream.
You knew the limitations of a regular size hot dog bun, and you ignored them.
Can't stop me now.
You made a 10-inch wiener, and people cheered.
Oh.
But you weren't satisfied. You said, wait, I think I can still give you 2 more inches.
Gotta want it.
And so the footlong was born. So crack open a nice cold Bud Light, Mr. Hot Dog Hero, because you gave every single one of us a damn wiener.
Thank you,
Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
Hi, Rick. We're back live. Real Racing USA live on Tuesday night. You know, last week we were talking with Eddie Carrier Jr. and we also talked with Earl Pearson, and the big thing on their mind was Eldora.
And the World 100.
Yeah.
And we got with us on the line right now the man who rules the world this week, Jimmy Owens. Jimmy, how you doing tonight, brother?
Pretty good. How are you guys?
Oh, man, you must be on top of the world tonight.
Yeah, we're sitting pretty good right now.
Yeah, 203 cars down there, up there for that race. Got to be awesome to be on top of that all.
Oh, man, it was cool, you know, to go up there and set quick time. And, you know, we didn't run real good in our heat race or nothing, but everything else took off and run good. So, you know, we were pretty excited.
You're at a race shop right now, aren't you?
Yes, I was actually going over some shocks.
Now, you were in a Bloomquist car, is that right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So now you've been driving modifieds for quite a while, right?
Yeah, we run modifieds from probably 95 to 2003.
So how'd you get moved up into the late models?
Just been fortunate, you know. When we started modified racing, you know, we had to drive for some people because we were kind of financially embarrassed and still are so until this weekend. But we just, you know, moved our way up and started driving for, I guess, our first full-time late model ride was with Mach 2 Motorsports out of North Carolina, and we drove some for Jerry Weisgarber the year before that and won probably five or six features with him, and then started in with Mach 2 and run with those guys for 2 years, and then we run with Harrod Farms last year, and then this year we got a new team with Reese Monument and them guys, and, you know, things have been going good.
That's great, man. Now, the move up from the modified, you know, I've watched a lot of dirt modified racing down here at Volusia and East Bay. To me, the modified, the dirt modified is the closest thing to a late model out there right now.
It's, you know, it's pretty good. You know, the to me, it's a great learning curve. You learn from them real good. You learn plenty of throttle control and things like that. You know, the cars act kind of different in a lot of aspects, but most of the time they're pretty much the same thing.
Where'd you get this name, the Newport Nightmare, from? How'd that come about, Jimmy?
Man, I don't know. Just through years of racing, it actually started in my modifieds, and, you know, nobody really picked it up too much in the modifieds, but then when we started doing good in the late models, it stuck around the whole time, and then it just got to really rolling in the late models.
And we got a question came in for you that, you know, everybody knew you were going to be on the show tonight.
Uh-huh.
And, you know Jason Lowe?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, he wants to know if you feel responsible for his situation about him getting married.
Slightly.
Slightly?
Yeah, he bought a car off of me, and he'd been winning races. So if he hadn't have done that, you know, she'd have never looked at him.
There you go.
Yeah, they talked to him a couple weeks ago on another show we do, and they were asking him when they were going to do the Jason Lowe story movie, and he said Danny DeVito wasn't ready for it yet.
That'll work.
So you got a lot of big stuff coming up. You ran Volusia earlier in the year, got a ninth place finish there, had some rains and stuff. You plan on coming back down for the Winter Nationals down here?
Yes. We'll be back down for the Winter Nationals. I don't know real sure. We're not real set on schedules. We take it day by day on that.
How many races are you going to run this year? I'm looking at your schedule right now.
Oh.
My God, man, you got some races coming up.
Yeah, we're probably going to hit everything on the schedule. And then, we'll probably... I don't know when our last show is going to be, but it'll be late in the year.
So is this up to date? I guess you've started 33 races thus far this year, and you've had 11 wins, 20 top fives, and 25 top tens. So, I'd say you're on your game, Jimmy.
We're doing pretty good. I think we got more than 11 wins, though. How many wins we got, Dad? 14 wins.
Oh, 14 wins. Got to update that website.
Yeah.
Yeah, JimmyOwens20.com for fans that want to find out more about the man who just took the money at them. That's just amazing, man. What's it like to go to Eldora with that many cars? What's that environment like? What's the scene like there?
It's just crazy. You know, it's kind of like going to Woodstock, only we're going to race. A lot of people go to have a good time and party, but we go to race and get it on. And, you know, most of the racers there are pretty serious. I mean, it's the best in the country. And to qualify good and make the field is just, you know, it's just a great feeling in itself. And then, you know, to run across that checkered flag before anybody else does, that's just, you know, that's, I don't know, pretty cool.
Well, to qualify first out of 203 cars has really got to feel good.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's got to be a winner. Now, the World 100, from what I understand in the dirt world, is comparable to the Knoxville Nationals for you late model guys.
Oh, yeah, every bit of it, you know. It's just, you know, kind of like the Daytona Dirt or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, it's not the highest-paying race we run or nothing, but definitely the one you want to win.
Yeah, and you know, I mean, still, that gets me. 203 cars show up. I mean, NASCAR's lucky to get 50 cars show up at any given time, and I mean, the best of the best of the best show up for this one.
Yes, it's just awesome. Like you say, you know, there ain't no better drivers in America that ain't there, and everybody's there thinking they can win it. So, you know, it's pretty cool.
Now, you guys, there's a lot of you guys that race. I mean, you do this for, this is your living. I mean, your life and your living. You obviously, you're out on the road all year long, and of course, there's a lot of, you know, we talk to guys that race in your deal a lot, and It's just amazing how much racing you actually do. I mean, this is a full-time gig. How does it, at what kind of level do you got to be able to actually do this and afford to do it before you make money? I mean, can you do it running in just in the top 20, or do you got to win to be able to make it?
You've got to have, I mean, you got to have probably an average of a top five finish. And you can't depend on money. You can't depend on the next race to make you the money. I mean, it's a lot more comfortable if you've got a good sponsor on board, and, you know, hopefully with all the TV shows and things we're getting, that maybe eventually, you know, we'll get some corporate sponsors and stuff in, and all the teams can make some pretty good money.
Now, how do you feel like this, the World of Outlaws late model deal is going now?
I think World Outlaws going real good, and Lucas Oil's real good. You know, we got two really good series there that, you know, it helps back, you know, it just helps everything out. And, you know, a lot of guys don't like the two different series deals, but, you know, I think it's kind of cool because you break up some of the racers, and, you know, it's just a bigger, broader area of racing that you get to cover.
Well, you know, most of the national series nowadays are going to like a north-south deal. And it seems to be working out for all of them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that's pretty cool. I mean, it keeps everybody from traveling near as much and everything. So,
yeah, I can tell you, you know, all the years of Winter Nationals down here, traveling between East Bay and Volusia, you know, sprint cars, and, you know, I like the open wheels, but I'll be damned, man, them late models, they are my favorite. Dirt late models are my favorite. Above and beyond any of the other cars.
Oh, they're cool. You know, I've always been a fan of the big-bodied cars. I mean, we had a lot of success in the modifieds and stuff, but, you know, I ended up getting a guy just asked me to drive his car, and I didn't even like them cars at the time, but, you know, once I sat in one and started driving it, I pretty got a passion for it pretty good.
Yeah, and the other thing that gets me about them, you know, they'll, like a big 75-lap race at East Bay, you know, they'll be going 25 laps, a caution will come out, and y'all come down to caution speed and listen to those cars just rattling and every spring creaking and everything. It's just unbelievable.
Mm-hmm. That's pretty cool. Better not hear my car creaking.
Oh, remember the night we down at East Bay? We saw that one car just take off and like skyward.
Yeah, almost went over the fence.
I mean, just on its own, man. It just.
What do these cars weigh about?
They're around 2,300 pounds.
2,300 pounds.
Yeah.
Jimmy, one of your sponsors is Reese Monuments, says Tazewell, Tennessee.
Yeah, Reese Monuments. They're out in Tazewell, Tennessee. I just met them this year. It was a pretty big step. You know, we had to, you know, pretty much quit the Herod Farm ride and come on with this guy. And, you know, it's just been a pretty wise move on my part.
So we had some buddies of mine and one of our sponsors, Jay Carberry, owns Evergreen Development and sponsors some of our shows on Real Racing USA. He took his driver and they went up to Tennessee and Kentucky for a little vacation road trip to go racing.
Uh-huh.
And they went to Tazewell Speedway.
Uh-huh.
Tell us about that. I know you've been there, right?
Oh, yeah. That's one of my favorite tracks.
Tell us about that track from a veteran's point of view. Describe that for somebody who hadn't been there.
Oh, man. I don't know of any other track in the country that's banked as much as that place. I mean, the straightaways on this track are, I don't know what the degrees are, but the straightaways are banked as much as anybody's corners, mostly. And I'm telling you, you can go just as fast as you want to go there. That is by far the most, I don't know, it's adrenaline-pumping track I've ever been on.
Yeah, well, Perry said that he was fine as long as they were under green, but it got a little hairy when they would come under caution.
Yeah, it's a really, really fast track. I'm talking, it's a third-mile track, and I think track record's like 11-0. I believe Scott's got it, and I mean, it's just, you know, if there's a wreck, you're in it, nearly.
Yeah, he was afraid that under caution he couldn't keep the car on the track because of the banking.
I tell you what, it's a pain whenever they line you up out yonder for driver introduction. You got to prop your head up. I have to prop my hand up on the interior to hold my head up because your head gets tired.
Yeah, you must like that track. You got a couple wins there this year already, don't you?
We got a couple there.
That's cool.
Yeah.
All right.
It's you definitely just got to have everything. You just got to be pumped up and ready to go.
Yep, up on the wheel all the time, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right, yeah, got a race coming up, looks like at West Virginia Motor Speedway, the 14th and 15th?
Yes, we're going there this weekend if we get everything ready. It's been pretty hectic after, you know, winning the world. We're kind of behind schedule when we got back home, so.
How much?
Everything cleaned up.
How much toll does that take on your equipment? Getting ready and then qualifying and all that out of 203 cars in a couple of days?
You know, it's not real bad the way they do everything at Eldora. You know, qualifying, you'll get at Eldora, you'll hot lap, you'll run three hot laps, and then you'll set. And you got to be on the ball. But, you know, we had late numbers. So, you know, we got to sit around at the holler and hang out and watch everybody qualify for a while before our numbers rolled around. So.
And
you know, it's not too bad, but when it comes heat time the next day, you better have your stuff ready to rock and roll.
There you go, man.
And then the next big super race looks like the, you got the topless, that's already happened, but the KC Raceway Dirt Track World Championship on October 18th and 19th, $50,000 purse, Stars deal.
Yeah, we're looking forward to going up there. We've been up our last couple of years, haven't even made the race yet, but maybe we can do something this year.
Yeah, well, they ought to let the guy that wins the world have a provisional anyway.
Yeah, that'll work.
There are no provisionals in this game, huh?
Not really. I mean, every once in a while people get them. I'm not a real fan of provisionals. I think, you know, you need to race your way in. But, you know, I have been fortunate enough to be in on a few, too, so I'll take them when I need them.
Yeah, and then I see in November you wind up your season at Cherokee Speedway. Now, that's a unique little track up there in the mountains, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. It's pretty cool. They've shortened it down. It was a 5/8 mile track, and then they've narrowed it up to a 3/8, and I think it's a lot better than what it used to be.
I tell you what, I've seen pictures of that track that people have taken from up in the mountains, and it's just beautiful area up there.
Oh, yeah. It is nice.
So what's in the future for Jimmy Owens?
Just racing. You know, just trying to win some more races if we can do it.
All right.
That's about all we're concentrating on right now.
Well, Jimmy, we really appreciate you stopping in and having a chat with us here on Real Racing USA. And we hope you stay on top of the world, brother.
Okay. Thank you, guys.
Hey, thanks, man.
Okay, bye.
All right. Jimmy Owens, man.
JimmyOwens20.com.
JimmyOwens20.com. Really cool website. Got a lot of stuff on there. Got some nice T-shirts and stuff you can get there. And good guy, man. Got 203 cars. Would tracks down here just salivate over that?
Well, you know, you got to have a little bit of, you got to be organized, man.
Yeah.
You think?
Yeah. Well, our old buddy Stan Cohen used to draw some big numbers.
Well, and, yes, yeah. But during the Winter Nationals, these guys, I mean, they get a ton of cars over at New Smyrna Speedway during the World Series and at Volusia and East Bay Raceway.
Yep.
And they do pack them in.
Yep. That's a good deal, man. Dirt late models, my favorite.
Yeah, so we're going to be talking with Mike Krakowski from Showtime Motorsports here after we come back. And still on tap, we're going to tap into Bill Green's brain from the Tampa Tribune, talk about some motorsports media out of his zone, and then we're going to go some all-Harley drag racing, too.
And don't forget, if you ever got any comments or anything about any of the shows, you can go to realracingusa.com, click on the forums, and drop us a line there. We got the Stump of the Florida Fans or what, Stump the Fans photos, all that good stuff on the message board. So check it out.
941-426-6760 if you can get through.
If you can get through. Jack may answer the phone. He may not.
I might. Yeah. I might and I might not. And I'll tell you, Rick, we do, you know, I still, this day is one of those days. It's like, still, I don't think after 6 years, most of the people I talk to, and I know myself, still have a hard time putting it all into some kind of perspective.
No doubt. You know, I spent a lot of the day today listening to a lot of newscasts and stuff from 6 years ago today, and where people were just carrying on with a normal newscast. I listened to MJ's show, as a matter of fact. He had his archive show is what he played today, and they were just doing an interview with a guy, and all of a sudden it was, oh, my God. You know, that was pretty much the way it was with every newscast that day. It was, oh, my God.
Yeah.
You know, it just took...
Off the charts.
Yeah, professional newscasters who cover wars and cover riots and murders and all this stuff. It hit us all with a ton of bricks, and I'll never forget that day.
I'll tell you, you know, after... later that year, it was, a month later, they had the Florida Governor's Cup 200, which is, you know, not necessarily the Snowball Derby is a bigger race for racers.
Right.
But in terms of prestige for the general racing community and stock car racing in Florida, the Governor's Cup 200 at New Smyrna every year for the last 40 years has been it.
Yeah, it's been there for a while.
It hasn't been at New Smyrna all that time, but it's like the most prestigious race for these super late mile drivers. And Jeb Bush came that year, and it was only like a month after the event.
Goosebumps.
We spent the first. I remember when we first got there. We were in that kind of silly mood, and I remember me, you, and I forget who else it was with us. We were looking for the Secret Service agents.
Right, right.
Took us an hour to spot one.
Yeah,
I mean,
finally,
these guys.
They found that motorhome.
Yeah, they were there.
But
when we were out on that front straight during the pre-race stuff there going on with the governor of Florida, Jeb Bush. That was the weirdest thing.
It was strange. But I'll never forget his words. My brother said that we need to continue on with our regular life, and regular life on Saturday night in Florida is stock car racing.
That's what the man said. And with that, we're going to go to break.
All right.
I must say, every time we hear a plane coming up overhead, it gets a little nervous where we are. Whatever is happening and whoever is responsible, we have no way of knowing if it's played out yet or if it's just going on. So every time we hear a plane go by, we wonder what the situation is and where it is. One plane crashed into the tower, the World Trade Center tower on the right, the first of those towers that you can see behind me. And then about a half hour later, a second plane crashed into the tower number two. That's the one to the left, where the darker smoke is billowing out right now. CNN has been told that one of the planes was an American Airlines 767.
America, our blessed nation, suffers today terribly.
Harry got up, dressed all in black. Went down to the station, and he never came back. They found his clothing scattered somewhere down the track, and he won't be down on Wall Street in the morning. He had a home, love of a girl.
We just had another view of the second plane going in.
It just collapsed.
Lying in the darkness, hear the sirens wail. Somebody going to emergency. Somebody's going to jail. You find somebody to love in this world, you better hang on to
few minutes ago. We don't know if something happened, another explosion. It just collapsed.
In these days, when darkness falls early, and people rush home to the ones they love, you better take a fool's advice and take care of your own. One day they'll hear, let's hear the drum.
I tried all day to call people. I could not call anyone in New York City the whole day.
Terrorists sought to use fear as a weapon against every person in this nation. They do not know America, and they do not know Americans. It is our strength. We will need that strength in the days ahead.
Pull my coat around my shoulders. Took a walk down through the park. Leaves were falling around me. Groaning city in the gathering dark. On some solitary rock, a desperate lover left his mark. Baby, I've changed. Please come back. But the head makes cloudy. Heart makes very clear. You know the days were so much brighter. The time when she was here. I know there's somebody somewhere. Make these dark clouds disappear. Until that day, I have to believe, I believe, I believe. In a New York minute.
United. The freedom-loving nations of the world stand by our side. This will be a monumental struggle of good versus evil, but good will prevail.
The following is a presentation of Real Racing USA.
All right, we're back at realracingusa.com is the website that you want to go to. For all the information. Also, real quick, got some information before the show for all you fans that were at the Sunshine Speedway reunion. That video should be out within the next week or two, we're hoping.
It'll be ready this weekend. And this weekend? It'll be the final deal will be done next week.
Right. The final editing's being done on it, and we should have that out and available for everybody. Put a couple short clips on the website for you guys to see. Jack, who do we got on the line with us?
I think we have Mike Krakowski from Showtime Motorsports, and we're going to talk about maybe a possibly a new type of racing that might be coming to the Carolinas. Mike, welcome to Real Racing USA Live. Hello, Mike.
Hello, Mike.
Uh-oh.
Mike, are you there?
Okay. We'll
work on that.
We'll work on that.
Yeah. Some of the things coming up on Real Racing USA that we're looking at. Some airplane racers. Some World of Outlaw drivers we're going to have on. Also, we're looking into possibly getting Gordon Solie's daughter on the air with us. They had a book out, Something Left Behind. I just read that book not too long ago about Gordon Solie's deals in wrestling, and there's a lot of good stuff in there about his times at Sunshine Speedway and Golden Gate Speedway and his announcing there. Good book if you want to pick that up. I got it off Amazon.com. It's Something Left Behind, the Gordon Solie story. Let's see what else we got coming up. Of course, we've got the All Harley Drags. That'll be up later on tonight. Now, if you want to listen to any of the old shows, once again, you go to RealRacingUSA.com and you click on the tab for your favorite show, but whether it be Inside Florida Racing or the O'Reilly ASA Fast Lane or All Harley Drags. They're all right there.
You know what I did, Rick?
What did you do? You hung up on them, didn't you?
Well, no. What I did, actually, is I accidentally, instead of dialing Mike Krakowski's number, I dialed Stage and Stevie LaTemp's number.
Oh.
Stevie probably thinks I've lost my mind. Anyway, yeah. We have with us Mike Krakowski from Showtime Motorsports. Welcome to Real Racing USA.
Thanks for having me.
All right. So, you've been dealing with, Marty Lindley and Jeff Fultz and some of the other guys in the Hooters Pro Cup, and you're looking to do maybe a new adventure. Tell us a little bit about that, Mike.
Yeah, we've been running on the Hooters Pro Cup series now. We started a little bit in 2004 and progressed and ran the full thing in 2005 and a little bit in 06 and even now in 07. But the effort is getting extremely expensive for me. I run my race team out of my pocket, and I get a little bit of sponsorship here and there, but it's getting very expensive to travel that series and try to make those races. So we have steel-bodied race cars, Pro Cup cars, and as of 2008, they will be obsolete. Everything has to be fiberglass-bodied cars. So we're working on an effort here with some other owners like myself that have steel-bodied Pro Cup cars, and we're trying to find some racetracks here in North Carolina close to the Charlotte area that would give us an opportunity to run those type cars. We've got some racetracks interested, and we're going to try to run a race yet this year, and we've got some dates promised to us for next year, and we're trying to track the interest of other promoters here in North Carolina.
So now, would it be just too much money to take the metal bodies off these cars and put the fiberglass bodies on?
Well, yeah, the cost of changing over to the fiberglass body is somewhere in the neighborhood of about $5,000 once you buy the body and some of the supports. And most teams can do that themselves, so we save on the labor cost. But there is a significant cost there, and I happen to have two cars that both have good steel bodies on them. But my biggest hurdle is coming up with the funds I need to travel around and pay our fuel and motel rooms and bring a group of guys in there to pit the car and things like that. It gets quite costly.
Yeah, and Pro Cup has pretty much spread it across the country, haven't they?
Yeah, it's quite a bit up and down the East Coast. Of course, they have the Northern Division and the Southern Division. But either series or either division you choose to run on, there is a fair amount of traveling involved. And because they're two 250-lap races and we do pit stops, we have to bring a number of people along to make that happen, and there's a cost involved to all of that. The effort we're trying to do here to run some of these local racetracks, number one, is to stay close so that we don't have to travel and be out in motels, and we're going to keep them at 100-lappers, so there's no pit stopping involved. You know, we'll run a 100-lap race, a lot like the late models do in the area, and we can do it with a lot less personnel.
Yeah, that sounds like a good idea. Now, you know, going back to that fiberglass body deal, the Hooters Pro Cup races have always been known as rough and tumble races. Why in the world would they go to a fiberglass body? I mean, they'll be replacing body parts every week.
Well, there's a lot of that, but some of the thought that went into that, they've talked to us for better than a year about making that transition. The thought was that fiberglass pieces could be repaired easily and put back together and reused. And some of the smaller teams like myself, we could hang those bodies in our own shops, and that would help us with our time management. A lot of the steel body stuff took special steel working tools to be able to form sheet metal into fenders, rounded fenders and quarter panels and stuff like that. So most of us used professional body hangers to do that kind of stuff. So they're thought to go in with this fiberglass body a lot like a lot of the late model series do. They call them ABC bodies, where the panels fit together and rivet together at tabs. Was supposed to be cost effective or reduce the expenses for us, the series, and help us to do a lot of work right in our own shops.
Well, obviously behind this is the major impetus then behind all this is about being able to give people who can't afford to go traveling all over the country, what with the price of gasoline and all the other expenses, a more affordable traveling series. And also, you know, it sounds like a pretty good idea for the promoters too, because, you know, if you can bring 20 cars in, like that kind of cars for a 100-lap race, that's a pretty good show. How many cars do you think there are sitting out there in the 400 within 4 hours of, say, Central North Carolina?
We're anticipating that there's quite a few cars out there that need a place to race. Most of the people that I've talked to, a lot like myself, that have steel-bodied Pro Cup cars, they're excited about this opportunity to race their cars somewhere. They're a lot like me, where they struggle to afford to go off and do a Hooters Pro Cup race. They'll struggle to put the money together to upgrade their car for next year and put a fiberglass body on it. And I've talked to a number of those people. We've got like 12 teams committed right now to do this race we're trying to put together yet for this year. And we're hoping that with the help of getting on your show here and in front of your audience, that maybe we can catch the attention of some more people out there that have these Pro Cup cars that are steel body that really have nowhere to run next year. Either our options are to put a fiberglass body on our car and continue to run the Hooters Pro Cup series, or try to find some racetracks that would entertain running us some 100-lappers. And I, like you, I think we can find 15, 20 cars without a problem to show up, and I know we can put on a heck of a show for the fans.
What? How much is the, I mean, you've been involved in this a long time as a driver and as a team owner. Nowadays, how much is the economy affecting racing, do you think?
Well, the economy we're in right now with the way the price of fuel is, of course, that costs us a whole lot to tow to these races, and I have found over the last 3 or 4 years the motel rooms are escalating, and I suppose as people like myself, yourself, and the race fans that we try to get in front of and put on a show for, as our cost of going through our daily life and what it's costing us now to fill up our gas tanks puts a strain on everybody's budget. So you know, the Hooters Pro Cup races at various racetracks, and most of the time the admission is like $20. And some of the racetracks that we're talking to about running our steel body Pro Cup cars, that their admission runs between $10, $15, $20 a race. So we're still trying to give a good value to our fans and let them come and watch some fantastic racing and keep it affordable for them.
Now, what kind of motors will you be running?
Well, we're going to run the same motors we have been running because that's what we have. Myself and the other owners that I've been talking to, you know, we have Hooters Pro Cup race cars. The only drawback we have is they still have steel bodies on them. And going into 2008, they'll no longer be allowed.
So, you know, the other side that I see to this is, you know, a lot of those local drivers around that area are going to get a chance to jump into these, you know, fairly bigger cars, close to NASCAR cars, and they'll have a better chance.
Well, that's another plus with what we're trying to do here is along the way I've had some of our local late model hot shoes contact me about maybe, you know, getting together and doing a Hooters Pro Cup race. And when we start talking about the cost involved and the expenses, they're surprised at how much it takes to go off and do one of those races. And now that we're going to move forward with this effort, we'll be able to take these local late model hot shots at any given racetrack and give them an opportunity to run a Hooters Pro Cup type car or a Busch car, a heavier car, and they can start getting some experience in those as they try to better their career or pursue their career and maybe eventually end up running the Hooters Pro Cup Series or getting to the Busch Series.
Basically, the Hooters Pro Cup car is what, like a basically a heavier Busch car, isn't it?
It's pretty darn close to a Busch car. As a matter of fact, when the Hooters Pro Cup Series started, that's what they started with. Old Busch cars, let's say, you know, cars that are, or that were trying to make it into the Busch Series and struggling to do so, or some older Busch cars that have just worked their way out of usefulness as the Busch teams progressed with newer equipment, and it's evolved to what it is today—a fantastic series. It's just an expensive series to run.
Yeah, you started off with Busch cars, 3,400-pound cars with regular tires.
Right, radial tires.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Are you going to stick with the radial tire rule, or have you decided yet?
What we're trying to do here, again, to make it affordable and to keep it as controlled as we can, is the racetracks we've been talking to, they all have a tire rule at their particular racetrack for their late model cars. And we'll probably just run whatever their tire rule is at the racetrack until we grow this thing and progress and figure it out. We'd love to stay with the radial tires. The BF Goodrich tires we've been running on in the Hooters Pro Cup Series work real well and also help these young drivers to get a feel for that type of a tire on a heavier car like that in order to progress into the Busch Series or Busch East or wherever they might want to take their career.
Yeah, another positive that I see, to, you know, we got a lot of, like down here in Florida, a lot of these kids go, you know, north to North Carolina, you know, with diversity programs and all this stuff. What I see is a lot of you guys that have these cars and stuff would have these kids, instead of towing their late models up there, you know, actually getting in one of these cars and competing in them.
Yeah, the opportunity for young drivers to advance their career is endless. We can work different development programs, and some of the other teams that I'm talking to, they've done that along the way. In this Hooters Pro Cup Series, they've offered their equipment to young drivers wanting to develop themselves and move their career forward. It's just getting so darned expensive right now that it's hard to come up with that kind of money to do that for them. So we're hoping that this would be an opportunity to keep racing our cars. We're all racers, and we love to race, and we want to find a way to continue to race them and have fun doing that and maybe help some of these other young drivers progress their careers.
Mike, how many asphalt tracks are you nowadays running in North Carolina?
Gee, I really don't know how many there are in North Carolina. There are quite a few spread across the state. Right now, we're working with three racetracks that are relatively close to the Charlotte area that all have an interest. And through all the people that I'm talking to, lots of suggestions are coming up about other racetracks that would have an interest in doing what we're doing. So we're very excited about the opportunity of growing this further forward.
I'll tell you, Concord's obviously a great place, and Orange County Speedway, Hickory, I mean, those are some good places to go racing.
Yeah, they certainly are, and you know, that's where we're focusing our efforts, and we've got the interest of these promoters too. So hopefully this thing kicks off here real well here in the next month or two, and we get a lot of interest going forward, and we would be ecstatic if we can run 10 or 12 races next year doing this. And I think we've got a real good chance of putting that together.
Now, apparently you have a team. This isn't just you doing this. You have a team of people that you're working with?
Yeah, there's a number of us working on this effort, and I'd like to say that it's a lot of people like myself that have Hooters Pro Cup equipment and just trying to find a way to race it going into the future.
You know, anybody that's looking at furthering racing in the upper echelons in an economic way, I don't see any way that it can't be successful.
Everybody we've talked to is excited about our ideas and the way we're trying to put this together to go forward. Most of the guys that have equipment that I've talked to say, we've been waiting a long time for somebody to come and do something like this, because they struggle to make it happen with their race cars and chase the Hooters Pro Cup Series. So if they're truly excited about this and come forth and participate in what we're doing, this is just going to grow. So hopefully we can get some more interest from some of your listeners out there or some of your listeners that know of teams that have old Hooters Pro Cup cars sitting around and would like to get involved with what we're doing and give us an opportunity and a place to race our cars. I invite them to get a hold of me. They can contact me through my website or at my email address, if you wouldn't mind putting that out.
Yeah, go ahead. What tell us about your website.
My website is showtimemotorsports.com.
That's S-H-O.
Correct. It's a little tricky spelling. There's no W in it. It's S-H-O-T-I-M-E, motorsports.com. There's contact information there, or to shorten it up, my email address is showtimemotorsports, spelled the same way, at Juno, J-U-N-O, .com. And anybody with any interest in helping us make this happen and grow it forward, please contact me, and we'll get back in touch with you and offer you up all the information we can.
Yeah, that's cool. And I'll tell you, you know, we had Rick. You know, we've how many people do we run across every year over the last 4 or 5 years? They want to go race in the Hooters Pro Cup because it's been a great place to go get, you know,
experience.
Some experience in serious competition. But they never seem to understand. So many of those people go and quickly are out of it because
money.
It's a lot more costly than they realize once they get onto it and get on that road trip.
So many of our late model guys down here that we've seen, that, you know, we're going Pro Cup racing next year, and like 3 months into the season, they're back in a late model.
Yet it is extremely expensive to do it. It is a great place to race, but hopefully our efforts will make a stepping stone to come in and try it and get some experience, maybe entertain their sponsor prospects and put together a better program that they could go on and carry it and take it to the next level and go Hooters Pro Cup racing.
All right, Mike. Good deal, man. We'll help on our end get the word out, and maybe we'll get you some responses and see what happens.
Well, I appreciate your help, and I'd like to come back on in the near future and give you all an update of how this is progressing, and
absolutely,
and you
no
work
doubt about
together
it.
To make it a reality.
Absolutely, Mike, and we wish you the best of luck, and keep on trucking, man. Maybe we'll see you at a racetrack soon with some old Pro Cup metal cars.
There you go.
Okay, well, great. Thanks again so much.
All right.
Appreciate the opportunity.
Okay,
right,
Mike, thanks.
Thanks for coming on, man.
All right, take care, y'all.
All right. Hey, now that sounds like a deal.
I'm telling you, I think so too.
That sounds exciting right there. I'm gonna have to keep
keep
up on that
because it's a ton of, it's like one of those things. You got a ton of cars sitting around,
right?
And they're ready to roll. They just need a place to go put them all together at a racetrack.
And the thing is, you know, I mean, a Pro Cup race, 150, 200, 300 laps. You know, you got, like you said, you got tires and pit stops, pit crews, and all into these tracks,
and just like. Just like with, say, the ARCA deal where, remember, there was some, you know, some people were complaining because of the developmental teams. Same thing in the Pro Cup, man. You're not just competing against the Bobby Gills of the world and
right,
those kind of guys.
Right.
You're competing against
the Earnhardts.
That's right.
Oh, yeah.
And it's good on one end, but if you don't have the money to play that game, it's not the place to be.
So this
is a pretty good alternative, and I'd like to see that happen, actually. I think that would be another good addition to the late model racing scene in Carolinas.
Yeah, and like I said, I mean, it'd be a good thing for these young drivers to move up to. I mean, we always hear about the Busch North, you know, but we're still talking NASCAR, so you're still talking big bucks.
And I'll tell you, you know, it's every time I go up to North Carolina, man, it's like, I go, man, this is pretty cool. You know, these short tracks up there, the ones I've been to are really well taken care of.
Yeah.
They're, you know, they're not a whole lot different in Florida when you come down to it, but they're really well taken care of, and there's you never know who's sitting in
them. Well, you want to know what you compare it to? The military base is close to D.C.
Yeah, that's right. Yep. They're good,
you're
man.
Close to the Capitol.
They're good, and, yep. You know, a couple of them, I mean, the food's always good at the places,
yeah,
and they're just fun places to go to, man. So
yep.
good place to go watch some racing.
ShowtimeMotorsports.com.
I think we got time to squeeze Mr. You know, I don't know if we got time to squeeze Mr. Green in or not.
Yeah. Well,
we'll give him. We want to give him 30 seconds of fame.
Yeah, hurry up.
All right.
Call Bill Green. Throw a quick couple of commercials on, and we'll be right back on Real Racing USA.
City Racing, it's about winning. From lug nuts to complete race cars and 12,000 parts in between. Whether you're new to racing or a seasoned veteran, you'll find what you need at Port City Racing. Since 1981, Port City Racing has been producing winners, drag racing, circle track, and much more. You can now browse through our Port City Racing catalog on the web. View and shop online right from your race shop. PortCityRacing.com. That's PortCityRacing.com.
That was a quick commercial, man.
Yeah, that was a quick commercial.
Port City Racing.
Port City Racing.
Mr. Bill Green has joined us from the... Are you at the confines of the Tampa Tribune as we speak?
No, luckily enough, I got the easy job where I can actually do it from home.
Really?
Yeah, sit around my underwear, have a cool one, and
Bill, that's more information than we really need to know.
Hey, well, you kept asking. I figured you were after something.
So, Bill, how is it working for the paper now?
Took a lot to get used to because I'm used to writing motorsports articles that are written towards motorsports fans and motorsports magazines, so they all tend to take it as they get it when it comes to sponsorship and stuff for cars and all that kind of stuff, and sponsors' names on races and all those neat things that go along with racing, and the way we try to put the word out about the sponsors to keep racing alive. But when it comes to the newspaper now, there's a whole new ballgame. They're not big on putting sponsors in unless they're paying for an advertisement somewhere in the paper, and they also don't like to get a whole lot of confusion because there's a lot of folks they hope take a peek at the sports section, happen to run across the racing, local racing section, and are not very well versed on local racing. And so it has to be written to a much under level than I would like to sometimes, but I still manage to get my point across and talk about some of the great people and characters within the racing community, so it's pretty fun, actually.
Now, as far as content, you know, I write race reports, and you've been writing them for years, too. How much do they actually allow you to put in those stories? I mean, do you get to put the bumping and grinding parts in? I don't get the Tampa Tribune, and the Braden and Herald doesn't cover crap in motorsports racing.
You can't put "he punched him in the face" in there.
Yeah, no. The first time I put a negative comment in, they called me, and they wanted to know, do you really want to put this in? I said, well, yeah, it was part of the story. It kind of, you know, makes it seem like this guy, you know, doesn't take any crap kind of thing. He goes, do you really want to put this in? And I went, well, okay, what do you think I should tone it down a little bit, I guess, then maybe for me? He says, I would say yes, because they just don't like the negativity. I turned around 2 weeks later. I waited because I didn't want to lose my job within the first few weeks. And I waited and got a chance to talk to my lead editor, and I said, listen, in football and stuff, you guys are talking about what they did, how they beat up their wives, how they did all kinds of things. Why can't I talk about that in racing and or the things around racing that go on? Sometimes guys get out of the car, they, you know, get a little heated at times. He goes, well, maybe we should allow some of that stuff, but let's just keep it, you know. I only got 400 to 500 words as it is.
They should consult some motorsports people, man.
Well, yeah, I'll tell you what, though, I got really lucky, and I guess it's just being in the right place at the right time, like a lot of folks have said before for other jobs. But Gary Audrey was the man with Tampa Tribune. He did all the local motorsports. He went to Sunshine for years when I was there as an announcer. He came down, I'm sure, to DeSoto every once in a while, and he He went to East Bay and USA and so forth. Well, when he decided to move on and go to an editor's job within the paper, and he couldn't go out and do the legwork, he gave them my name and said, this is the guy you want to talk to, because he may not know how to write for you yet, but he knows everybody. And so having been around racing for so many years, know the families and so forth, it kind of helped to be able to do character parts that they really like to see you talk about, centrally one racer from the Tampa Bay area and then what they're involved in. It could be, you know, I've written about races at New Smyrna, but they involve racers from the Tampa Bay area that were either winning them or doing something and making it, you know, seem interesting that we really travel around. So they've been telling me that over the 4 months that I've been doing it, that they have picked up on the emails and comments about the local motorsports racing, and that it's getting some more notice. I don't know if that means I'm doing really good or people are just something to read.
Well, you know, as far as I know, the reporters that have written about the local motorsports scene were never involved.
Had no clue.
Were never involved, you know,
right,
as deeply as you are.
That's right.
No, even Gary Audrey would tell you that at first, when he first started doing it, and that was the only beat they would give him, make his little, back then he said only about $25 a week, he went and did it. He said, I just learned it as I went. And he said Bonnie Hill was very good and helped him out a lot because he was right there local, and so he would go to Sunshine quite a bit. And then he got to go into East Bay, and he was treated real nice, given a special little spot up in the tower to sit in the side and do the racing reports and stuff and get him in by his 11:30, you know, deadline. So he said that he learned as he went, and by the time he'd done it then for about 8 years, he had a pretty good idea what was going on.
Now,
but he says exactly what you guys are saying, that most people that are sent out, hey, go cover this story out at the racetrack, and they have no clue. They're sticking ball people or there's something else.
Yeah, well, I had a lot of dealings with Gary Audrey, too. You know, and I mean, yes, Gary had been around for a while and all that, but like I said, he wasn't involved. He wasn't in the pits. He wasn't, you know, talking to these guys during the week, you know, I mean, involved.
He
part of his life.
He wasn't in the tech shed when they were doling out the arguments.
Absolutely.
And, you know, and for people around the country listening to this who don't may not realize this, this is a pretty big gig because the Tampa Tribune is one of the nation's largest newspapers in one of the nation's largest media markets.
I got really lucky. It's the 25th market in the country. And
for newspapers. It's actually a bigger media market. It's like one of the top 10 total media markets. Yeah.
But the newspaper has about 350 to 400,000, depending on Sundays. It does like 500,000 circulation. And it also has, now it's tied up with Channel 8, News W, whatever it is, TVT or TMA or whatever they are. Anyway, News Channel 8, Tampa Tribune, and TBO.com, Tampa Bay Online, are all one entity in the sense of newsmaking.
Do you read the paper? Do you read that sports page all the time?
I try to get it as often as I can. When I'm on a Thursday and I can get into Hillsborough County when I'm driving and doing some of the other things I do, I try to pick one up and look at it and see what's around it. I've been really lucky. I've had two times that I've been on the inside front page.
Well, here's why I ask you that. What reason I ask that is I wonder when there's a brawl in a baseball game, if they run a picture of the guys all duking it out at first base, you know, or you know what I mean? You know where I'm going with that.
And I'm sure they have, because I've seen them in the years past where they did just that.
Yeah, I mean, a little bit of controversy is just part of any sport, and certainly if you take the controversial nature out of motorsports, I mean, you have...
Boring.
Yeah, I understand. And that's why I've enjoyed this so much, because I've been able to point out to them and kind of teach them as we go things about local motorsports racing in Florida and how much history there is here.
You've been learning them white-collar guys?
Yeah, they've really appreciated some of the information I've been able to bring to the table. Like the other day, I guess it was about 3 weeks ago, I went out to do the announcing for Todd Hutto at East Bay to do a motorcycle show. And I was there doing the announcing, and here's this kid named Hayden Campbell. And so I went down in the pits when I got a chance, and I looked around, and sure enough, this is one of the grandkids for Harry and Steve Campbell, two of the most well-known sprint car makers in the world. And his is their grandson running a mini sprint. And so that was a story in itself, and I put it right in. got right up the next Thursday, and they were, you know, kind of awestruck that there's that much history, so many generations of drivers that are local drivers that continue to pass it on generation after generation going to the racetrack.
You know what you ought to do, Bill? You got to get the sports editor to put on a T-shirt, a baseball hat, so he looks like he fits in totally, right? And some worn-out tennis shoes. And tell him to come with me, you, and Rick on a trip to a racetrack. We'll go up to Citrus County one night, and we'll show him racing from the inside. What do you think? He might have a whole nother look at Saturday night racing.
I've gotten close to that. I've gotten to my direct editor for motorsport is, of course, Tony Fabrizio. He's the man who does all the NASCAR stuff with the Tampa Tribune and travels to the races a lot and so forth. His editor, the lead editor, as they call him, is a guy named Cesar Briasso. And I've gotten Cesar and Tony both to say that when they're in town together on a Saturday night and East Bay's running any kind of show that I can come up with that's decent, then I can drag them out there and they'll come out and see what's going on.
Yeah, but keep them out of that press box. You don't want to take them to that press box.
Take them to the pits.
Take them to the pits.
I'll get them down there.
Yeah, get them down and dirty at East
Bay. In the infield, after it rains.
So listen, man, we got to run and do some drag racing here with the All Harley Drags. But, of course, I want to talk to you again real soon on this. But what's a big story you're working on right now?
Thursday morning or tomorrow morning, I guess, actually, they're going to come out with my or Thursday morning, they'll be out with my story about one of our favorite characters in racing in Florida, and that would be Showtime, Robert Yoho. He finished fourth in the race on Saturday night, and I figured, I guess that's about as close as I can get to get him in a winner.
Got that right.
And so I figured I would do it on him. And it came out, you know, I started talking to Robert over the phone, and it's been a couple of years since I really sat down and talked to him. And I found out all kinds of other neat things. I mean, I did know about his military history. He was in military intelligence. He spent 9 years in Japan and rode motorcycles there in competition. All kinds of neat stuff. So
military intelligence.
Yep.
Robert Yoho.
Now you're scaring me.
He's got three grandkids and his new girlfriend, longtime girlfriend, now fiance. And they're still trying to pick a date that's good enough for them to get.
See, he told me he's going to get married when he gets his first feature win.
Yeah, there you go. Probably will do it.
Yeah, well, four might be.
But those kind of things. And he really was down to earth when I asked him the question. I said, Robert, what's been the difference, man? What's been the difference in the last 6 or 8 months of your racing and what you were doing before, where you were just having fun, entertaining the crowd, and now you're starting to finish races up front, you're staying on the lead lap, you're doing a lot of things that you used to not be able to do. And he said, well, it has to do with three things. He said, one is I talked to my sponsor, Leonard McHugh, into putting some money into my motor. We got a good progressive motor. He says, I can keep up with them now. He says, two, I got my buddy Dave Pletcher to come out for about three different nights, work on the car with me, and get it set up to where I could get it to turn better. And he said, number three is my spotter, Mr. Stanford, has been helping him for years. And he said, he and I have started to gel a little better together, and I'm paying attention to what's going on. But he said, the biggest thing has been, I don't do it for the competition as much as I do now. It's just stress relief to get away from work, have some fun, get out with my girl, and just have fun with the crowd. He says, I love getting that crowd into it, and that's always been the way that Robert Yoho's worked.
All right, Bill, listen, man, you got to rest up that voice because you got to go up to South Georgia Motorsports Park and announce the ASA race with our buddy Matt Freer on Friday night, and then Sonoya Speedway on Saturday night. So get rested up, dude.
Yeah, Sonoya, I've been there once with the USCS. Great little place, and looking forward to seeing that big track.
All right, man. Talk to you soon.
Thanks a lot, guys.
Thank you.
All right, we'll talk to you soon, Bill.
All right. Okay, man, we got to go. We got to go. We got to take a break and come back with the All Harley Drag.
Vroom, vroom.
Oh, boy.
City Racing, it's about winning. From lug nuts to complete race cars and 12,000 parts in between. Whether you're new to racing or a seasoned veteran, You'll find what you need at Port City Racing. Since 1981, Port City Racing has been producing winners, drag racing, circle track, and much more. You can now browse through our Port City Racing catalog on the web, view and shop online right from your race shop. PortCityRacing.com. That's PortCityRacing.com. The O'Reilly Auto Parts ASA Fast Lane. Only on Real Racing USA. Meet the racers of America's most exciting short track racing series every Wednesday night from 8 p.m. until 9 p.m. From the Milwaukee Mile to Bristol Motor Speedway, Five Flags in Nashville, the ASA is the racing series where young talent meets wily veterans in extreme short track competition. O'Reilly is America's auto parts store, and the ASA is America's premier late model series. O'Reilly Auto Parts ASA Fast Lane gets you close to the action and behind the scenes with the real stories from the drivers themselves. The O'Reilly ASA Fast Lane, only on Real Racing USA.
Do you need to raise your land and business to new heights? Then you need to call Evergreen Development and Construction. They do it all, from land development, construction, drainage, excavating, site prep, and even environmental projects. No job is too big for Evergreen Development and Construction. Give them a call at 813-478-8847. And don't forget to check out the late model Evergreen Development Construction Race Team. They'll be at a track near you. And remember, just think green. Evergreen Development and Construction. 813-478-8847.
The following is a presentation of Real Racing USA. The following is a presentation of Real Racing USA.
It's time to go drag racing! 200 plus miles per hour!
All right, Rick, you know what time it is now, man. It's time for the real crazy guys.
The All Harley Drags with Stevie LaTemp. Stevie, you there, brother?
Hey, guy, how you doing this evening?
Oh, we're doing great. How you doing?
Oh, doing great, doing great.
We've went an hour and a half and we haven't wrecked yet.
I will tell you, I listened to your little segment you had on there about 9/11. Boy, that really that strikes home, I think, for every American.
Let's hope so, anyway.
I'm telling you.
Well, listen, talk about Americans. I've got him right now. Not only is he an American, my God, he's a Texan. I got Terry Tripp on the line. Terry,
right.
How you doing, guy?
Good, thank you.
So, Terry, it's been a crazy season for you. As I've been looking at the specs on you and stuff, and going down the line, you are currently number one in the points. There's like four races left to go. Yet, you've only got one win. How tough a competition is it in this class?
Oh, man, it's horrible. I mean, everybody's capable of winning at any time in this deal, looks like. You know, I think there's been seven or eight races and probably seven or eight different winners, so I feel pretty fortunate to at least win one.
Well, Terry, this is what we call an index class, and if you would, could you explain to the people just what an index class, what it is?
Well, this is a super gas class, and you can't run faster than 9.7 seconds. If you do faster than that, you break out, and if the other guy doesn't break out, you automatically lose. So it's a, you know, in good places where the air is good, it's real easy on the back I run to run faster than 9.7. So you have to be really careful that way.
So it's almost like a double drag race.
Right.
You're racing against that 970. You want to hit it without going under, but yet
right.
You've got a guy over on the other side that has all the intentions in the world of putting his wheel out in front of yours before you cross that finish line.
Exactly right. And my train of thought on racing is you beat the other guy, even if you know you're going too fast, you still want to beat him. So it's hard to get in my mind not to do that.
Well, I know I've seen some guys that were able to lift and somehow judge it. And I don't know, probably it's 10% skill and 90% luck, because it has to be a huge amount of luck to be able to judge that distance at those kind of speeds.
For me, it's just luck, yeah.
And to give the fans an idea, Terry runs in this super gas class to where 9.70 seconds is their target. You have two riders roll in, bump the beams, and it's a, they compete against each other to who gets there first, but neither rider can go faster than 9.70 seconds. And to me, when you do this type of racing, it's probably the hardest racing in the world. For the spectator, I think, well, you know, the all-out, flat-out, first one to the finish line. And that's fine. But you really become get into the technical end of it and skills on driving and judging distance and judging your opponent when you get into classes like this 970 class, and you do a great job at it. I will say this. You got somebody who's not a happy camper right now, and he's knocking on your door just 6 points behind you, which is less than one run, and that's Bob Drabb. He's the former champion, or current champion, I should say, and looking to come back and do it again. And you've been a thorn in the side right now. So what do you think about Bob over your shoulder now coming at you?
Well, it's tough. I mean, he's the number one guy. So just to, you know, be this on my second year of racing, so to be there with him is kind of exciting, you know. He's a good guy, and, you know, you want to beat him, but, you know, he's tough.
Have you ever met him in heads-up competition?
No, not yet. We haven't. Haven't run him yet. So I figure one of these days it's bound and determined to happen, you know.
Well, we're down to now. We have Virginia, and we go into Pomona.
Well, Rockingham's in there, too.
Oh, that's right. We go Rockingham, then Pomona, and then to Vegas. So we're down to the final four. And you know, in a points chase like this, he's going to be looking for you. He needs to get to your first round to take you out if he wants to get that edge.
Tough too. I dread it when it happens.
Well, it should really be interesting. And, you know, and I talk naturally about you because you are the man right now, and Bob Drabb right on your tail. But there's another guy back there that's kind of slowly but ever so carefully moving right up. He's right on Drabb's tail, and that's Keith Riddle. Riddle's just 14 points behind. To give you an idea how close this is, here the top three are basically, what do you get? Is 20 points for a round win?
Right.
So there's two guys that are within one round of knocking you out of the saddle. So, and I also went down the list. I believe we did have, I think there's eight different people that have won this race so far this year. I don't know if there's been any repeats or not. I don't believe there have.
No, there haven't, but I know of. Yeah.
It's just simply incredible how tough this is. Question now. One thing that's happened to this class, the V-Rods have got into this class. And you run a V-Twin, am I correct on that?
No, I ride a Destroyer, a V-Rod Destroyer.
Do you have a Destroyer?
Right.
Okay, now I didn't know if yours was a Destroyer or not. How does that Destroyer, I mean, it's probably a perfect name because it seems to be super deadly. In relation to the V-Twin, how is that as far as performance and driving, you know, and being able to ride? How's the drivability of it?
Well, it's really smooth and real easy to ride. I mean, it's built for drag racing, you know. And so it's set up, for me, just perfect. It's smooth, it handles well, it has a lot of power, so it's a great bike.
How fast are you guys racing? How fast are your quarter-mile times?
Well, on this on the 9.7, we average about 135 to 138 miles an hour.
Gotcha.
Right in there, so
yeah,
you know, it's plenty fast. But
I will tell you this, you know, think about 9.7. I mean, that is extremely quick. What do you know right offhand? I put you on the spot here, perhaps, but like your 60-foot times, what type of times do you have on a 60-foot line?
Well, they're around like 138 or, you know, 1389, something like that, 1.4.
Do you know any idea about what mile per hour that is?
Oh, not right offhand, I don't. It's probably already about 70 miles an hour or something like that, I would say.
Well,
I don't know right offhand. I never paid that close attention to that end of it.
I'd say you're probably pretty close. And for a lot of the guys out there that are not familiar with motorcycles and their rate of acceleration, if you go out and you buy a new Corvette and take it to, you know, run your 0 to 60 times, we're looking at 4.5 to 5 seconds to go 0 to 60. And if you just heard what Terry said.
Oh, it's way, yeah, it's over the top.
A little over, you know, one, just 1 second. Holy smokes. He's accelerating roughly five times faster than a brand new Corvette. And that's incredible. How do you hang on to that thing, Terry?
Well, I always make fun and tell everybody I just close my eyes and scream and hang on. It's not that bad. It's pretty exciting for that first 60 foot for sure. I mean, it's a handful.
Well, any plans special for Virginia? How do you, is the air extra good there? Have you ever raced there before?
I didn't make it last year, but I'm sure the air will be really good now that we're going into fall and it's getting cooler and it's a little closer to sea level than most places we go. So it'll be fast. It'll be hard to stay under 9.7 for sure, you know.
So you really start to worry about that breakout situation going too fast.
Right, yeah. Yeah, see, I broke out in Oregon 2 weeks ago. That's what beat me, as I broke out. And the other guy broke out too, but he didn't break out as much as I did. So, of course, if both people break out, the one that breaks out the least is the winner. So, you know, I kind of always have to worry about the altitude because they always run so much better. And like I said, my second year, I'm not that good at judging how fast I'm going, so.
Terry, what prompted you to jump into this sport?
Well, it's one of the reasons is drag racing. You don't have to be a young kid anymore. You just have to have, you know, reaction times and be able to ride a bike in a straight line. And I'm 52 years old, and it's hard to find a racing sport that a 52-year-old man can do. So,
Terry, you're a youngster, man. Let me tell you something. Last week we had Sonny Burris on, and So you're a youngster, no doubt.
Well, I know that, but the kind of racing I like to do is flat tracking and motocrossing, and I'm just too old for that. So
yeah.
I do old man sports, what I call it. But it's fun. It's a lot of skill for these guys. I mean, they're tough to beat.
Yeah.
Well, Terry, when you're not out riding those bikes, just what do you do for a living?
I'm a Harley-Davidson dealer in Amarillo. I own Trips Harley-Davidson, and it's a family-owned business. We've been in it for almost 52 years, so. Harleys are in my blood, and this is with that new Destroyer they came out with last year. I mean, it's a perfect fit for my business and wanting to race. So, that's how I got into it.
That's very cool. That's very cool.
Well, Amarillo, Texas, I'll tell you what, that brings back a lot of memories for me, even though I'm a South Carolina boy. When I was a young man in the military, we're going to go back to, 1966, I got married at Amarillo, Texas.
Really?
Yep. August 13th. It was Friday the 13th, if you can believe it or not.
Well, that's my wife's birthday, so I
don't
remember
that. August the 13th?
Yeah. It was on a Friday, too, when she was born, so.
Was it? What year was it? Well, I don't want to ask what year.
Oh, she's older than I am. It was like
4. No need to go there.
I don't have the Twilight music. No, don't ask that.
Something like that.
That's right. 29. I believe that. Absolutely. Gorgeous woman.
She is.
Well, she's got to be a special woman. She puts up with a guy who rides a Harley, so.
Well, she's a big part of my drag racing deal, too. She helps me when we back into the water pit. She backs me in, helps me do my burnout, get lined up. So she's a big part of it for me.
Does she ride?
No, she doesn't ride. No, she lets me do all the riding, and she criticizes it.
Well, she's a crew chief. That's her job.
That's it. For sure.
Cool, man. So you ride Harleys and sell Harleys. That's pretty cool, man.
Yeah, it's a good life, really is. It's fun. And get to meet a lot of nice people in the Harley drag. There's the nicest people in the world with all the Harley drag racing deals. The guys are all really good to you and make you feel at home. It's pretty cool.
Well, Terry, I want to thank you for coming on tonight.
I
enjoyed talking to you, and I hope everybody enjoyed listening to you as well. I know Virginia's up next, and I look forward to seeing you come into Virginia. And going to pull the stops out and turn it loose. There's no doubt in my mind. Terry Tripp, guys, remember that name. That could be your next world champion in the All Harley Drag Racing Association. Terry, thanks for coming on.
Thank you.
All right, Stevie. You know, I got an email, and I can't access it right now because I'm on the wrong computer here to access it. But got an email from Valerie.
Valerie Thompson?
Thompson out there in out west. Bonneville Soft Flats, says she broke a record. Did you get that?
Yeah, in fact, Valerie set a second land speed record. She owns one already, and then she set her second one just this past weekend at 161.73 mile per hour on a panhead. Now, I don't think she was ever able to make the run that she wanted to make with the nitrous and everything, because they did have terrible weather out there.
Right.
Affected the salt. But she was able to go out there and set her all-time best. And set, it was an official salt flat record at 161 mile an hour. And as Valerie would say, 161, Stevie, 736 on the end. Don't forget that.
That's pretty cool. You know, and, of course, we interviewed Valerie last week again on Real Racing USA on our All Harley Drag segment there. And that interview is available on realracingusa.com. Just click on All Harley Drags, and there's it's near the top. There's a link to that interview. And so she did go out, and actually she got something good accomplished, and that's good.
Absolutely. I think there was some disappointment because of the weather and stuff. But, you know, Mother Nature, unfortunately, controls racing quite well. And with the salt flats, the moisture, it'll soften the salt up. And if, once the salt starts to get soft past a certain point, or if the winds are too strong, or it's over with. It's just a done deal. You just simply can't go out there and do it. So, unfortunately, she experienced weather, never really got to make all the runs and go as fast as she had intended to. But she did set the record. She did a great job.
161.736 miles an hour. Want more information on it, go to her website, btracegirl.com, and it's all right there.
Absolutely.
Tell you what, Stevie, let's take a quick break, come back with Bob Drapp, huh?
Absolutely. Now, there's a guy, he's going to be a headhunter, because he don't like being number two, and that's where he's at right now.
Okay, we'll be right back.
All right.
PowerMaster is your ASA series sponsor for the XS Power batteries. PowerMaster is pleased to announce the introduction of the XS Power series of batteries. XX Power batteries for racing applications and batteries for your car audio application. 12-volt batteries for street machines, street rods, off-road vehicles, and even motorcycles. XS Power batteries means 30% more power and no battery spilling. PowerMaster also carries your starters and alternators. Visit us on the web at www.powermastermotorsports.com.
I'm Doug Rose, owner of the Green Mamba Jet Dragster. You're listening to Real Racing USA on Short Track America. Be there.
Bud Light presents Real American Heroes.
Real American Heroes.
Today we salute you, Mr. Footlong Hot Dog Inventor.
Mr. Footlong Hot Dog Inventor.
When conventional wisdom said no one could make a hot dog longer than 6 inches, you dared to dream. You knew the limitations of a regular size hot dog bun, and you ignored them.
Can't stop me now.
You made a 10-inch wiener, and people cheered.
Oh.
But you weren't satisfied. You said, wait, I think I can still give you 2 more inches.
Gotta want it.
And so the footlong was born. So crack open an ice cold Bud Light, Mr. Hot Dog Hero, because you gave every single one of us our fondest wish, a bigger wiener. Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
When purchasing a technical product like brakes, there is no substitute for quality and experience. In the performance industry, no one has more experience than the brake man. The brake man has been designing high-performance solutions for a variety of applications for almost 40 years. The current products from the brake man are among the most advanced on the market. The Tornado calipers are the only calipers in the performance industry to carry a U.S. patent number and a new line of pads and rotors. The Brakeman Super Brakes are solving brake problems on hard-use vehicles, from police cars to ambulances and a variety of fleet vehicles. So if you're towing a trailer, carrying heavy loads, or just plain want to extend the life and stopping power of your vehicle, it's time to call the Brakeman on the web at thebrakeman.com.
The following is a presentation of Real Racing USA.
All right, we're back with the All Harley Drag Racing segment of Real Racing USA Live. And Stevie LaTemp, I think, is hooked up with Bob Drapp from Florida, another super grass rider.
Super gas.
Rider.
You have to forgive, Bob. Remember, these guys have been turning left so long that they're still lost. We've got to get them over to a drag strip, and we have to teach them.
And, Bob, from what I understand, you don't like running second.
No, I'm not really fond of it.
I'm trying to get in the number one spot, but it's pretty hard work because there's some tough competitors out there.
Well, you know, Bob is really telling the story the way it really is. I've never seen, I don't think this class ever have, as many tight competitors. And Bob was telling me while we were on waiting there that we were looking at as many as 10 guys that could still win this thing yet, and we only have four races left. Bob, I did some research on you and looked into your background a little bit. You're probably one of the toughest guys on the tree that's out there. In fact, you're getting better the more you race. Now, last year, you were laying down some pretty serious numbers. In fact, in order, you normally, to win a race, you had to go 0-6 on the tree, and you ran an average of 974 off of 970. You were never more than 400s off. Now, this year, you've got one runner-up, but you've gotten your reaction times to 0-3. But yet, unfortunately, you only have one runner-up stacked on the table. Really surprised me. And what do you think is the deal? I realize it's more competitive now, but is it something to do perhaps with the type bikes? Or is it the V-twin? Do you think you like it better than a V-rod? Or what are your feelings on that?
Well, there's really a number of things, but I think probably the biggest thing is that the competition has gotten a lot better out there. Last year, the Destroyer was a new motorcycle, and a lot of people were just learning the tune-up on it. And by looking at the qualifying, you can tell that this year, even towards the end of last year, these people were really starting to get the tune-up down, because usually the top four or five qualifying spots at every race was the Destroyer. And it was hard for the pushrod motors to be in the top five in qualifying. And those guys could run so consistent, you had to be good on the lights to even be in the game. And this year, I think a lot of those guys improved their riding skills as well as their tuning skills, and they're tougher, and there's so many good riders out there this year, and good tuners.
Well, you know, I believe you, you won five races last year, was it?
Yes, I had five wins in Super Gas and three wins in ET.
I mean, you were on your game, and of course, you do wear the number one plate, and rightfully so. And this year, you're still in the hunt with just that runner-up. What do you think? Is Virginia going to finally give you that win I know you've been looking for?
Well, it's a good possibility. I've been doing some homework, doing some studying, and, you know, trying to improve my riding skills a little bit of practice here and there, so we'll see what happens.
Well, also, how does it affect you as far as traveling? You know, one of the things that a lot of the guys have to do is a lot of traveling. I know you're from Florida. In the Virginia race, that's relatively close, but from there, you're going to have to make the haul all the way to Pomona, California, and from Pomona, you roll right into Vegas. We have one interruption in there. We do have one going in when we go into Rockingham, but still, when you get out on the road and you head west, do you think that will affect the way your vehicle will handle for you?
Well, it doesn't affect myself so much or the vehicle, but what it does affect is if I do have any mechanical problems, I don't carry a full load of spare parts and all the tools I'm used to working with when I take those West Coast races. So I have to kind of rely on what I can borrow and what people can help me with. And that's a bit of a handicap sometimes if something goes wrong, which is what happened to me at the Oregon race.
Oh, really? Tell us about that.
Well, I had my bike at the, let's see, which was our last race, Bristol, on the eastern end, and I had somebody take my bike out to Oregon for me, Doug and Julie Vansel were very nice to help me out there, and they took the bike out there, but I had a blown clutch in it from Bristol, so I bought a clutch and put it in my suitcase and some tools to take it out there with me, and darn if the airlines didn't lose my luggage. So I had to borrow.
Can you imagine the guy that found that suitcase and opened it up?
Well, they finally got it to me, but a day late. So I had to borrow clutch parts and tools from other people, and I couldn't find the exact right stuff. So I was handicapped on that race.
Well, I'll tell you what, that fingers crossed that doesn't happen, but I can see, you know, where it could happen, though. And I can just only imagine the guy that picked up your suitcase.
No doubt.
What did your suitcase weigh, by the way, when you
Actually, it was legal weight, just barely, because there's very few clothes in it, mostly tools and parts.
That's funny.
And I checked the weight before I left home so that I wouldn't have a problem getting it there.
Well, I'll tell you, I found most of the guys out there are pretty good about, you know, about sharing and helping you and stuff. But, you know, if you do have special tools and certain things that you've got to have that fits your bike and your bike only, I guess you are really on the spot. And when you make this run out to Pomona, is that another one where someone will have to transport the bike for you and then you just, you know, follow out?
Yeah, I'm going to have someone take that, but they will have the ability to carry a little bit more stuff, so I'm going to try to be a little bit better prepared. I'm going to put together a pretty good grocery list of things that I think I might need.
Bob, are you from the around the Lakeland, Florida area, somewhere in there?
Yes, I am.
Yeah, okay.
I'm about 10 miles from Lakeland.
Really? Yeah, we're actually broadcasting this show from south of Sarasota, actually.
Oh, okay. You're not too far away then.
No, not at all. Interesting. So, that was like a funny story, but I guess, it's not funny when it's happening, but that was a bad commercial right there.
Well, the thing that I learned out of this is stuff that is critical that you absolutely cannot do without, bring it on as carry-on baggage.
No doubt.
I just see them running that thing through the X-ray machine.
They probably ask a few questions, but it shouldn't be a problem getting it through as carry-on baggage because it was just a set of clutch plates and a couple of hand tools. But they didn't like it with my electric drill in the carry-on baggage. They said I had to have that as checked baggage.
Really? So you actually carried the clutch packs, or some of your tools and stuff, right in the aircraft and slung it up overhead, then, huh?
Well, on the way home, I was going to do that, but they wouldn't let me do it. So I had to check it as baggage anyway.
And how did you get involved in this sport, and how long have you been involved in it?
I got involved in this when I was still in high school. It was just something that a lot of the kids I went to high school with had a real interest for. And some of them raced their cars and some of them raced their bikes at the local track. And this is when I lived in Wisconsin back in the 1960s. And the first time I went to the drags, I thought this was one of the greatest things in the world. And after 40 years of doing this, I still think it's the greatest thing in the world.
Well, Bob, how long have you been racing on Harley?
I've been with the AHDRA probably close to 10 years, I would say, maybe a little bit longer. I haven't been following the whole circuit until just the last few years, but I would do some of their races every year, like when they do their spring opener. When they used to do it in Orlando, I would always make it to that race. But about the last 3 years, I've been making a lot of the events around the country.
You know, it's very common for everybody that seems like that we talk to is involved directly with Harleys in some form or shape for their regular business. Are you too involved with Harleys and your?
Oh, very much so. I've worked my entire adult life in the motorcycle business. I'd worked in dealerships at different positions, service manager, general manager, and so on. But right now, I work for the Motorcycle Mechanics Institute, and I actually teach the high performance classes for Harley.
So if anybody should be able to put a tune-up on one of these bikes, it should be you then.
Where's that located?
It's located in Orlando, and there's also another one in Phoenix, Arizona.
So is that something that people would see when they go to the PRI show in Orlando?
I don't know for sure, but because I don't get involved in the promotional end of things too much at the school.
Uh-huh.
I used to do a lot more of it at one time, but it may very well be at that show. I know last year they gave us passes to get in there, so I think we had some involvement with it.
Did you go?
I went last year.
Yeah, quite the adventure, huh?
Oh, that is.
Yeah,
that's almost like somebody going to heaven. That's any kind of a gearhead.
Yeah, you walk in this. That place is so huge, and I forget what the name of the building is there, but
the convention.
Yeah, the convention center. It is so huge.
Bill Green, who we had on the show a little bit earlier, he is the motorsports editor for the writer for the Tampa Tribune, and he and I went and he actually lost the car keys in that place. There was no chance ever of finding them.
Oh yeah, that place is huge. It's got to be several square miles inside, so it seems.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Well, Bob, how about sponsors? Are you fortunate enough that you have anybody that helps throw in a few dollars there to help you out?
Well, I've got what I have done is I teamed up with a couple of different people to help me out. One is Donnie Huffman of Huffman Harley Davidson in Lakeland. He's helped me out quite a bit this year. He's helped get my bike to a number of the races, and he's certainly given me some technical help here and there. And another person that's been very instrumental this year is Jordan Cruz. He runs in the Pro Stock class, and in between making rounds in the ET class and Super Gas, I crew for Jordan Cruz on the Pro Stock bike.
So you just can't get enough of it, huh?
Well, it looks that way, doesn't it? You're right, I can't.
Well, I'll tell you what, you talked about Donnie Huffman. Now, we had Donnie on the show.
And yeah.
He's quite an interesting individual.
Yeah.
That's another man that cannot get enough of it as well. And his dad, is not a spring chicken anymore. But you know,
no.
He jumps on that bike and he rides. The last time I tried to get a hold of him, they told me, he said, well, sorry, he's on his way to Memphis, Tennessee. And he's on his bike, so I don't think he's got a cell phone on.
Is he still leading the points? When we had him on in July, he was leading the points in his class. Is he still leading the points there?
You know, I can't answer that right off, but I'll let you know here in just 1 second.
Yeah.
Well, that's kind of a funny thing you mentioned about leading in the points, because I'm number two in the points in the ET class as well. I'm 3 points out of first place there, and I'm 40 points ahead of Donnie Huffman in the ET class.
Uh-huh.
Oh,
he's number three, I'm number two.
Well, there you go.
A competitive man to be ahead of, too, let me tell you.
All right.
Well, Donnie has consistently been one of the toughest guys I've ever run up against, and I used to run up against him at a lot of the local races as well. A lot of times it'd be he and I in the final round for the big money in the pro brackets.
Did you?
Sometimes I'd win, and sometimes he'd win.
Do they run bikes over at the Orlando?
Yes, they do.
At the Speed World there?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, they run Saturday night events out there. It's not every Saturday night. I believe it's about every other Saturday they run it.
And then there's a place there in Lakeland, too, right, over by USA?
Lakeland Drag Strip, they usually run... Well, they have tests and tunes on Thursday and Friday, and then sometimes a Saturday night event.
How do you are you in tune with the local scene a little bit in Florida drag racing?
Not so much anymore. Since I've been making it to all of the AHDR races, I haven't really had time to make too much of the local scene. But I get out there once in a while, like on a Wednesday night or a Thursday night for a practice session for a test and tune.
Yeah, they get good turnout, people coming out?
Oh, there's a lot of times a huge turnout.
Yeah, that's cool. Good to know.
There's a lot of enthusiasm for drag racing motorcycles. Not so many Harleys. There's a lot of Japanese bikes and a few European bikes that show up, so there's a very good variety.
Well, I got to tell you, I mean, I would be happy to see them there rather than passing me at 160 on the interstate, as happens from time to time.
Well, I feel the same way, too. It's a pretty dangerous situation to be out on the roads nowadays and driving like that.
Yeah.
Just a note on Donnie Huffman. He is currently number three in three different classes. So he, too, will start to make the push here, the last push on these last four races. So your friend's off the track. When he gets to the track, he bumps that first yellow light. He's all business. So should be
every man for himself at that point. But you are right about that there's so many racers out there that are the same way, that we're great friends off the track. But when it comes down to getting in the staging lanes, then it's all business.
Well, Bob, enjoyed having you on this evening.
I enjoy being here.
I enjoyed listening to you, and I really look forward to seeing if you can keep that number one tag on the back of that bike. You know, we wish you all the best.
Well, thank you very much, and I intend to put on a good show.
Thanks again for coming on this evening. We really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
All right.
Well, guys, that's about it for Stevie tonight. Just one thing that I did want to mention to you guys tonight, remind everybody out there that on our All Hartley site that we do have a place for your pictures. And if you have pictures of your rig, your bike, your girlfriend, your dog, by golly, we'll put it up there and help promote you the best we possibly can. Also, if you have press releases, it's extremely important to help not only the All Hartley Drag Racing Association grow, but to help you as a racer grow. And we can do that by letting us put up your press releases on our site. It's absolutely free. We charge nothing. We make nothing on it. It is all for you, the All Hartley Drag Racer.
Yeah, and Stan Shepard, Bullet Racing, he sent us some pretty cool pictures, man.
Especially the one where Stan showed his trophies, and then the next one, he showed his variety of cocktails.
Absolutely. Rick and I were marveling over that picture. That was pretty cool.
Only Stan Shepard.
Yeah, and we have a story coming out tonight, Stevie, on Greg Krennic with some pictures, a little story and some pictures that'll be on the front page of Real Racing USA, as a matter of fact.
Well, I think that's great.
Yeah, so we're trying. I hope people keep sending us pictures. I know, I forget who it is right now. Somebody sent us some pictures, and we didn't get them, and there was an email exchange back. I haven't heard back yet. And then also, we did have a little bit of an error there on our linkage, wasn't working right on one of the stories. I think it was a couple of the stories went to the Tommy Grimes interview, and they weren't supposed to. And somebody put a comment on and sent us an email, and we straightened that out, and we appreciate that. And anytime somebody sees something that's screwed up on the website, let us know, and we'll fix it.
Well, guys, once again, I really enjoyed this evening.
All right, man.
I'll come back again next week. Not just sure who it's going to be yet, but we're going to have two guests on from the All Hartley Drag Racing Association, and we'll take you straight lining once again.
Talk to you soon, Stevie.
All right. Thanks a lot, Stevie.
Bye-bye.
Off into the distance they go.
And it never went, man. They were gone.
Yeah.
They're just like that. Holy cow.
Yeah.
Well, we didn't have the guys from Red Bull.
Plane racing.
Plane airplane racing crazy maniacs. Right. We didn't have the guys pulling 10Gs.
Yeah.
Didn't have the track owner from 411 Speedway.
Right.
But we did have.
We did have Bill Green.
That's right. We had Bill Green. Jimmy Owens.
Jimmy Owens.
Celebrating all that big money he won up at Eldora. Top of the world guy, man.
Mm-hmm. Mike Krakowski.
Krakowski from Showtime Motorsports with the new Harley, or the Harley, the new
Body Hooters Car Series.
There you go.
I don't know what he's going to call it, but it's ShowtimeMotorsports.com, Showtime without the W.
Got the point of view from the official flag stand.
The Wild Child.
The Wild Child.
For the TBRA.
And, you know, I'm sure it's not the first time. Maybe it is the first time Dave Steele ever got it can't be.
I've never heard of it before.
Maybe it was. We'll have to find out. Maybe
we'll get Dave on next
We'll
week.
Have to find
we'll
out.
We'll get Dave Steele on next
yeah,
week.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Because
yeah, you're going to be interviewing him in a couple of weeks anyway, more than likely.
Probably. He likes them long-distance races.
Yeah, so... you know, he's going to come loaded for bear at DeSoto Speedway.
Yeah, he will.
DeSoto Super Speedway.
DeSoto Super Speedway. He loves that racetrack.
He'll become loaded for bear there. So.
And Thursday night, you're going to open the vault up?
Yes, the vault. And I'll tell you what we're going to open with. We're going to open. We announced this actually last night. As a matter of fact, we're going to open with a... There was a time back in July of 2001... When we got a bunch of promoters together, because we were involved in Florida stock car racing at the time, and you and I got a bunch of promoters together, had them have dinner together, talk, discuss the $50,000 in the middle of the table,
right,
and then come on our show immediately after, and they all interviewed on our show for 2 hours.
Right.
And we're going to play that particular show because it's apt to me. I listened to it again the other night. Absolutely fascinating.
Yeah.
We're going
to
start with that.
You know, we see all these people come on the message boards. They ought to get together and you know, it's something new and all. It's been there, done.
But I'll tell you, some of those shows that we're going to have over the next coming weeks and months, I mean, there are interviews from Hooters Pro Cup guys back in 2000, 2001, guys from all over the country.
Goodies Dash Racers.
Goodies Dash Racers,
yeah.
Busch Racers, Truck Racers. Some of the guys, Eric Amarola, when he was like...
Before his voice changed.
Before his voice changed. I was just going to say that.
Danny Martin Jr.
Danny Martin Jr. David Ruderman back in the day. Yeah. I mean, just a lot of really cool stuff. Yeah. Some guys who aren't even with us anymore that we interviewed.
Yeah. Edor.
Sky Lundstrom.
Yeah.
And we had our own, our very first show that we ever did. It's so ironic, too. The very first show we ever did, one of our stars was an all-Harley drag racing champion.
Right.
Mike, what was his last name?
I can't remember his last name.
It slipped my mind.
Yeah.
We're getting old.
Yep.
But, so that's the kind of stuff we're going to have on Thursday night at 8 o'clock every Thursday night.
The Vault.
The Vault.
The Vault will open again.
Yes, pretty, and it's about time. So that's what we're going to do. Otherwise, I think it's about that time, man.
All right, man. Along with Jack Smith, I'm Rick Angies. This has been Real Racing USA. We'll be back next Tuesday night, 7 to 9 p.m., with another great show for y'all. Until then, good night now.
Take it to the limit.
one more time.